He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
The car industry is still roiling in trouble. Lots of articles about how we're going to start it up again, or not we're, because it's not Jay and I, but they're going to start it up again if and when they can start up again because of the disruption in suppliers' businesses as well. And if you try to get, I think there's something like 55 plants of assorted vehicles, brand names, around the country that will, or maybe North America, that are going to try to start up more or less at the same time when they're released from producing medical supplies or whatever else. And you're going to have to get all these employees back in line, and they're going to have to start the assembly lines. They're going to have to start figuring out how many cars they're going to build for the rest of the year. And then they're going to have to try to get all the parts. And there's lots of overlapping in makers' parts suppliers, like seat manufacturers, electrical systems and all that. So, it's going to be fun to watch, I guess. I don't know if it's going to be fun, but it's going to be interesting to watch. And the other thing that I was reading about this morning before showtime was the problem that some of these big independent retailers like Auto Nation and CarMax are having just trying to stay alive and survive because of the huge numbers of people they've been employing in their systems and the huge number of cars they have because they've got multiple locations around the country and they've got lots full of cars and they're not selling anything right now because they're basically, the sales rooms are closed in many states so you physically can't go into many dealerships' showrooms. So you have to try to do it all online. And I think Jay will think that's easy to do.
No, I don't think he will think that at all. But what is really interesting is, isn't there a huge auto lobby? I mean, can we not, is it not fair to posit at some point that somebody's going to have to divert a vast amount of money to the auto industry to bring it back to life?
Short answer, yes.
Right. So,
I mean, I was reading some analyst, that I think it was Deutsche Bank, was saying that Ford and GM have cash reserves for that can get them through 16 or 17 weeks of this situation. That's not looking very far down the future. That's looking, 3 months. That's looking down into the summer months. And as Robin says, just the complications of restarting production is enough problems right there, but then compounding that with just a financial, a very critical situation, it's just going to be complicated. And nobody knows what the demand for cars is going to be because, are people all of a sudden 3 months from now going to go out and rush and buy cars? Interestingly, in Huang, it's been 3 months since the coronavirus erupted there, I think, 3 or 4 months, and they're coming out of that pandemic, and apparently car sales there are booming to a level that surpasses what it was a year ago. Are we going to see the same thing here?
Where do they get the money?
I don't know.
The first amount of money, if that's true in Huang, and it could be true here too, will be coming from sales of vehicles where the money goes into the dealerships for the dealerships to restock. Articles that are out there right now that I read this morning are about manufacturers apparently have a large number of vehicles sitting in their factory parking lots and beyond that they would like the dealers to continue taking on in their quota system, their quota plans that they try to set for dealers. And dealers are having a hard time deciding whether to go out on a limb and take on some of the inventory that's available to them, apparently, and from the production centers, and therefore put themselves further in debt with no money coming in by having to floor plan taking on the cars. It's like Jeep at the end of last year was trying to dump a whole bunch of vehicles on trucks and Jeeps to dealers because dealers weren't ordering vehicles.
Well, Fiat Chrysler does that all the time.
Well, that happens all the time. But the problem is we're on a much bigger level right now. So while Jay said it's partly, Jill, to your question, a simple situation of money, the complicated part is trying to coordinate all the facets of the industry together so that when startups start again, the question is, are there going to be inevitable shortages of certain models? And the whole automobile industry is very complex for the dealers. The auto industry wants to the dealers to buy what they produce, whether or not the dealers have actually independently ordered cars. And they don't order cars the way they used to. They order lots, I mean, you know, lots, L-O-T-S, not numerical, of cars that the manufacturers produce. The manufacturers are going to have trouble producing certain kinds of cars or certain models of cars because there are going to be shortages of supplies. And they could, you know, they're talking about maybe the sales year will be down around $14 million per year for this year as opposed to the $17 million that they've been enjoying per year for the last several seasons.
Yes, I think the current sales projections right now are for sales to be hit by somewhere in the 2.5 million unit range here in the U.S. and about 2 million sales in Europe. And again, the U.S. market and the European market are pretty similar in size, and they're getting hit pretty much the same way. I predict there will be, you know, and I've been saying this, simplification of product lines, and we're going to see, you know, we're going to see product lines just be shut down, and we're going to, you know, we're going to see brands disappear, and we're going to see a consolidation of manufacturers that I think we were going to see anyway.
And we may lose the AutoNations and the CarMaxes, too, in this process. I don't know how well-funded they are.
And would that be when I say globally, I mean just overview, would that be a bad thing? Would that then give the, shall we say, power back to the manufacturers the way that they would like, or...?
I don't think it's a good thing at all for disappearance. I mean, slimming down, we probably have too many dealers in the country all over the place except for the special specialized manufacturers that produce low-volume vehicles. But for the independent business people who put a lot of money into starting up their business and would like to stay in business because that's how they were going to make their livelihood, it's not going to be a good thing. Consolidation is always good at one level and bad at another. You know, people lose jobs when you consolidate, so there are going to be a lot of there would be a lot of job losses if that were to be the case. But there may be a lot of job losses anyways. I think the manufacturers' brand dealerships are probably, hopefully, they're in a strong position to be able to survive in most cases this particular situation. About the independent dealerships, I have no clue. But in any event, there'll be plenty of cars, but they may not be the cars you want to buy. As Jay says, they're probably going to slim down, simplify the ordering system, and make it more difficult to customize your vehicle if you don't want 3 out of 7 items that are in the packages that they offer you, and you've got to take it or you don't get the car you want.
I actually think that you'll be. I mean, I don't know. If you look, and here we go, or here I go bringing up the Tesla model again, but model of business, you know, it's a very streamlined product line, but you can order the car. You pretty much order the car. There's no there is some inventory, but pretty much you are ordering the car that will be built, and you get the car built to your specs. And that can be done because they have 3 or 4 models, period. You know, it's the 3, the S, the X, and soon to be, and no, actually the Y's has started to ship. So you got 4 models, period. And
until they bring out another one.
Okay, well they can bring up
a
few others.
What happens,
they're
going to
be, well, we know the truck is in the wings, right? But it's still a very streamlined product line.
Are they still being built?
They actually stopped
Chinese
production. The Fremont plant
is
at a halt like the rest of the auto industry.
So
short answer, no, they're not being built.
Okay.
At the same time, you see an article about the fact that the factories are shut. If you see an article and such as you see in Automotive News, you see a picture along with that article, and you see a picture of the plant, and you usually see a large lot full of already produced cars that are sitting there waiting to be ordered by dealers in this period of time. So the inventories are actually quite large in many cases for many manufacturers who were producing at full tilt before they had to shut down to a halt a few weeks back. So a lot of cars have not ever gotten to dealerships by then. And that's what the dealers are being offered now by the manufacturers who are trying to move their inventory off of their already produced parking lot levels to the dealers to transfer the cost of those vehicles into the dealer's hands, so they have to start floor planning and paying for them without knowing when they're going to sell them, because the dealership, the sales are just really in a slump all over the place.
Right, and again, that's what happens. How do I say this? Is this not the case in many other industries?
Yes, it's all over, but we're talking about cars.
Right, but the reason that I'm saying that is, aren't most industries going to be faced with the same problem as they try to come back online?
Yes, but again, I think the auto industry is way more complicated than most industries.
Than the restaurant industry?
Are just way, way, way more complicated.
They're, right.
More complicated to produce. The supply chain is way more complex. So it's going to be harder yet. But
I guess my main question is, are there not models in the supply, existing things that were being built or were out there prior to the...
Yeah.
Hold on. The good news in all of this,
yeah,
trucks are still selling in all the states where there are no or very little enforcement of stay-home orders. Trucks are selling very well. Thank you very much.
Well,
indeed they are. But along these lines, Jill, as I said earlier, the dealerships, the big dealerships, are loaded with cars. My favorite vehicle, of course, that I drive is the Jeep Cherokee, and I have had my Cherokee serviced recently during this crisis, and so I've been able to walk around the nearby Jeep dealer that I use, and they're also a General Motors dealer. Lots, and let me tell you, those lots are full. And they've got a nice assortment of vehicles at certain equipment levels already sitting there that they had on a lot before this whole thing came on, and they just never had sold them. So they're still sitting there. Have they added some to their inventory? I noticed that they did the last visit I was there, so some have come in during this course, but there's nobody in the showrooms, as I said, so they have to do it all online, when you go in for service, I usually go in early, so I'm not there when the theoretical delivery time for vehicles might be going on, but I didn't see anybody coming in to pick up, and I didn't see anybody coming in to pick up a new car, so I can tell you that these lots that already have cars on them are just going to sit there with those cars on them. Maybe they dribble off the lot as opposed to fly off the lot.
Yeah.
But there's plentiful supply. Subaru, for example, has got a record number of vehicles. It happens to be only a 34-day supply, I read this morning, when it used to be down around 17 days to sell out the inventory. But they've got the largest inventory on their dealer lots that have been around for many years, apparently. They've been blessed with just basically selling everything they've been producing for years and years. But right now, the sales of Subaru are down, for example. I'd like to divert a little bit from this particular level of topic level to a couple of things I read that I didn't know anything about. And one is about the Mini Coopers. Apparently, the 2020 Mini Coopers were not be able to be built with manual transmissions.
Because I think that...
fuel delivery problem. But
let me stop you right there.
So the 2021 Mini Coopers are all going to come out initially with manual transmissions, which the Mini Cooper is probably the most favorite car line to where manual transmissions are probably the favored transmission for this line of vehicles.
The Mini Cooper line.
BMW GTIs have manual.
In my view, the most
numbers.
Overrated rebranding of an iconic product and milk to the hilt image. There are so many variations of the Mini Cooper that it's not even funny, and I think they're
slimming that down, Jay.
They've just lost their way, and you're right. Not being able to buy a standard transmission on a Mini Cooper is just it's just a sign of where Mini Cooper is, and I think it's one of the brands that is doesn't have a really long-term future. That's my opinion.
I think if they want to stay in, they will. But the problem is because there's a saturation level at that of that vehicle, along with the problem of whether they produce the right mix of features on them.
I think it's a tough for manufacturers. It's just a tough proposition to try to introduce or reintroduce one iconic product and hope that it will help build a brand. You take Fiat in the U.S., for instance. They came back with the 500. It's a one-product brand for all intents and purposes.
It was at the beginning, 500. And then they bolted it up.
And, you know, that went up, and it was short-lived. I mean, that their sales are down to, and even before this whole pandemic,
their sales
are down to zero.
Instead of thousands of cars per month sales.
Yeah. So, and now we're going back to talking about dealerships who invested, you know, gazillions of dollars to have dedicated showrooms, you know, like Hyundai has forced their dealers to, you know, create Genesis-only showrooms and dealerships, and like Ford is trying to do or tried to do or is trying to do and then stops trying to do and tries again to do with Lincoln. It's just very, very costly for these dealerships. And in the case of FCA and Fiat, it's a total flop. And I think that the Mini brand, which is owned by BMW, is in a bit of a precarious situation. That's my opinion.
I think it's a precarious because just as it's happened in the real estate business, the whole profile of the buyer has changed in the last generation. And the practicalness of the Mini Coopers and the Fiats and many of the smaller editions of the other manufacturers' cars have been notable failures in terms of numerical sales because they just aren't practical for what the general family today wants in a vehicle. And the Mini Coopers were sporting. I had my Mini Cooper from, 2003 to 2000, I sold it in 16.
Yeah, but that's the first generation of the reborn Mini Cooper, and that it was one model. It was smaller than the current model. It was cool. It was
they did the right thing with it.
Supercharger on it, and it was just a cool car.
Right, but now you know it's not practical now because unless you can own more than one car in your family life and. And they're not. They'd like to sell them at $20,000 a month, year after year. And what they're down to is $3,000 a month, or less, for the Mini Cooper in that range. And that just isn't justifying BMW's desire to keep producing the car if they can't pump the sales up. But there just aren't any more people buying Mini Coopers on a monthly basis than somewhere around a $3,000 vehicle number a month, which isn't a lot. It's 36,000 vehicles a year if they do that, or between, let's say, 30 and 50,000. And they don't find that profitable in terms of return on investment and sales, production. So you see, you know, the Miata convertible, the MX-5, has been a remarkable success, but Mazda has been sticking with it, and it's one of the few really good two-door sport convertibles to drive, I think, today.
Hey, which brings me to the next to my next question to you, Robin. And I was just reading about that, and I know you have one. Mazda RX-7. I just read this morning an article about a used 1979 RX-7, and I know you have one. And I thought you could share some stories about the car. And I think the RX-7 is dead because the MX-5 came out in the late 80s, and kind of took the place of the original RX-7.
Well, the original RX-7, of course, had the Rotax or the rotary engine, and that engine died because of its inefficiencies, and they just could not. And that was really the strong suit, in my opinion, of the RX-7 because it's a great engine. It's not. They never produced. The bigger they were, the less fuel efficient they were. And you know, we went through the period of fuel efficiency issues, and it was just an engine that didn't survive the need to keep it up to date and raising the mileage to an effective level when mileage was the big thing as opposed to performance.
But really, what was your gas mileage? I mean, I'm sure you know that because you track
everything. And it still is in the 20s.
Hmm?
It was in the 20s, and
okay.
It's still in the 20s. I love the car. It handles nicely. It's small. I like the original one better than the later versions of it. It grew, as all cars seem to do. And you remember the version that looked very much like the Porsche 944?
Yes, the RX-7. I have a friend who put 270,000 miles on it, and it was a twin-turbo last-generation RX-7, and arguably it was his second engine, but he still had, I think, over 160,000 miles on that one engine, which is pretty incredible for a car that was known to be unreliable.
Yeah. Well, mine's been reliable, and it runs fine, and it remarkably doesn't use a lot of oil. The rotors are also known for using oil between oil changes because of the way the engine design goes on that vehicle.
So are you going to take it out more? We should see you driving it around town.
Well, I'm waiting for good weather. I'm ready to take it out. It's sitting there ready to go. So if we can get some dependable, reliable weather, it'll be out very shortly, I hope.
Very, very much looking forward to that. Are there any random tips? We've got a couple minutes left that anyone wants to throw in, Jay or Robin?
Sure. Couple of things. I try to come up with safety tips. There are less people on the roads these days, but the people who are on the roads have a tendency to think they're the only ones on the road. I had to avoid bicycles riding the wrong way yesterday, and they were not kids. I've seen little kids on electric scooters on Main Street here in Lakeville. You know, part of me thinks that's cool. The other part of me says, okay, be careful. What else? I think,
just remember you're not alone out there.
You're not alone out there. I've had a very busy week, and I've been mentioning this in the virtual world. Things are absolutely crazy busy. A lot of online racing going on both on a national level with all the big series holding televised or broadcast races. And I actually this week had the opportunity to organize the first online virtual race series, first race for the Lime Rock Drivers Club. As we know, Lime Rock Park is closed until further notice. We don't know when it will reopen. but in the meantime, we have a bunch of club members who are taking on virtual or driving in the virtual world. And it's pretty cool.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.